Becker and Darren Donick and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth. Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, what an hour we are having. We go from legendary hockey voice Mike Doc Emmerich, who's come out with a book and just recently retired after many, 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 many decades behind the mic. We now go to longtime Colt center, Jeff Saturday, who's now a part of ESPN's programming, Get Up. This show tends to watch Get Up before our show every day. And Jeff Saturday is now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff, how you doing?
Fantastic. How you doing today?
We've got one request for you. You know, it's one thing as fans of the show that you're on. It's one thing for Rex Ryan to come out with his outlandish comments every day. We can stomach those, but the dancing stuff has got to stop, Jeff. It's got to stop.
I'm not sure what you call that. I think Swagoo and I had the conversation. He set white dudes dancing back at least 25 years. But, you know what I mean? So just, it just wasn't pretty, man. That whole crossover idea in the past, I think it was the pass that got me when he was pretending, and it was like a two-hand, you know, it wasn't even a bounce pass. He was like pushing it out. It was so bad. Anybody who hadn't seen it, go back, YouTube it, whatever you got to do to find it, because it will make you laugh, man. Good heavens, that was a good one.
I thought Marcus was generous with 25 years, honestly. I thought it was further back than that when I saw it. When you see this Colts team that the Titans are going to see two times in the next 3 weeks. When you look at this year's Colts team, what do you see?
Yeah, I see a defensive-driven football team that struggles offensively. I would compare them to the Bears. In the kind of the way I look at it. Probably a better offensive production. Than the Bears, but still kind of in that category. I mean, if you see what teams are doing, as they're kind of loading up the box. I mean, people have talked about Taylor, you know, their second-round pick not kind of meeting expectations quite yet of the offensive line. But they're facing a lot of stacked boxes because teams are challenging Rivers in a really, really decimated by injury wide receiver core that's kind of gone in and out. You know, guys will get healthy, then get banged up. So it's kind of the ebb and flows of injuries this year. But they've challenged Phillip Rivers to beat him, and against good teams he has not. Against teams without winning records, they've done well, but 1-2 against good opponents. And obviously these next 3 weeks are really going to define the season, not only for the Colts, but for the Titans as well. I mean, you know, this is for the division and for potentially a home field playoff game. And so when I look at the Colts, that's kind of what I see. I see a team that's got to win defensively, which they can definitely do, but a team that needs to generate some more points to give their defense some relief.
Interesting. Titans just coming off a win over the Bears. So it's interesting that you describe them as a little bit like Chicago. Okay. Through Jeff Saturday's eyes, what do you see when you watch the Titans?
You know, it's funny, if you had asked me before the season, you know, to define the teams, I would not have said that the Colts were going to be a defensive defensive beast, really, and they have been. I mean, they've played better than I thought they would defensively, but I would have never thought that the Titans would be more of an offensive football team, and that's really what you see when you turn on the film, right, whether it's Tannehill and big plays, but defensively they don't scare you, and which is not typical of a Mike Vrabel type defense, right? And when you think about pressuring the quarterback, and I know they've been banged up, I know they got rid of Beasley and Clowney's knee injury, but they don't create really pressure from their front four very well. You're just not that intimidated. And I know they went out and got Desmond King, which will help them on the back end to help benefit them. But I think they are a team that lives, in possession football, right? Offensively, that's what they want to do, is possess it and keep it and do their best, to play complimentary ball to help their defense. But, I mean, if you're being really honest with game tape, their offense has made some big plays. And not I'm not saying that they're you know, a juggernaut. They're not the Chiefs. I'm not saying it that way. But if you just look at their team in totality, they're depending more on their offense to win games right now than their defense.
You're the perfect guy to ask because you spent so much time on the offensive line. You understand that dynamic and how that works. The last two opponents for the Titans, Cincinnati and Chicago, have had worlds of problems at the offensive line. Makeshift offensive lines, guys playing for the first time, guys coming off the practice squad. And so the Titans have been pretty lucky, even though it didn't work out in Cincinnati, playing against some offensive lines that were having major struggles. Well, Taylor Lewan has been lost for the season, so they haven't had him the last three games. Now there's, you know, question about Roger Saffold. So things are starting to mount on the Titans' offensive line. Can you just talk about just what it's like when, especially this year, when you see so many times or so many teams, Jeff, around the league that are having to shuffle guys all over the offensive line, and what that is like, the challenges it creates, plugging guys in, plugging play in, and trying to get them to stay at a certain level?
Yeah, there's not a position on the field where consistency is more important than the offensive line. I mean, if you think about just positional consistency, right? You want to play next to the guy beside you. That continuity really matters. You get accustomed not only to calls and communication, but against, you know, pass offs and the way that you fit up. It's not unlike how quarterbacks and receivers talk about, hey, I knew where he was going to do before he did, or, you know, we see it through the same eyes. That's no different. And so when you start, you talked about the Bengals a couple of weeks ago for the Titans. I think only one of their starters was a preseason expected starter. So to your point, that's kind of going around the league right now. And with injuries and obviously with COVID and all the different things and guys getting put on these reserve lists from time to time, it has been very tough for teams. And I give young guys credit. There's been a lot of guys who have stepped up and played well. But for the Titans in particular, especially against this defensive front that the Colts bring, they will bring pressure. Now that is one thing they have done a good job, and it may not always look in sacks, but they will push the pocket. They will make quarterbacks uncomfortable, move off their spot, have secondary reads, kind of pump fake, do those kinds of things. They do a really good job. And then when not, you know, whether it's Darius Leonard, you know, these guys, they can bring pressure. So as I look at these things, this is not the week where you want uncertainty at your O-line, right? You want as much continuity and guys understanding and communicating with each other, because the last thing you want to do is try to go block these guys, a bunch of one-on-ones. That will not look good for this offensive line nor this offense.
Talking to Jeff Saturday, the longtime center for the Indianapolis Colts. You can catch him on Get Up. Tremendous analyst for the NFL. Jeff, along those lines, you're mentioning the Titans have issues on the offensive line, but they have Derrick Henry. They have a tremendous rushing attack. And not only are they playing the Colts on Thursday, then they come back with the Ravens, another elite team at stopping the run, and then they get the Colts again. When you were with all those great teams for the Colts, you played elite defenses. What was the key to not psyching yourself out and overcompensating, going away from your strengths, and just having the mentality and the confidence to say, okay, we're playing a great defense, but we're a great offense. We're not going to change too much of what we're going to do, and we have to stay with our bread and butter and be successful.
That's right. You know, don't reinvent yourself because of how good you think they are, right? I mean, that was what we always talked about is – it's not an offense of the week. It's who you are. It's what your identity is. And for the Titans going in, they need to run right at you. I mean, I would say that the thing for me is what you see teams do is they try to create these new runs. And I'm not talking about wrinkles. I mean, obviously everybody has wrinkles in their game plan and little one-offs, you know, and jet sweeps and that kind of thing. But how do you make your money, right? You make your money by giving it to Henry early in the game, and even if it's not paying dividends in the first quarter, not paying dividends in the second quarter, he's starting to kind of show up a little bit in the third quarter, is unless you are totally out of the game or totally taking out of being able to run the ball because of score, you got to stick with it. Like it's not going to be pretty, because in the fourth quarter, it's really where a guy like Henry separates himself, and we have seen this time and time again from him and from this team is, you know, they'll bang away on you and bang away, and the next thing you know, Henry's running away from an entire defense at the beginning of the fourth quarter or midway through the fourth quarter, and he's running over somebody. And but it's all because of what they've done in the first quarter, because if you keep defenses fresh, if you go out there and decide, hey, we're going to throw it around the yard and we're going to do it this way, and on those D linemen and those linebackers stay fresh and they don't have to pursue and they don't have to run, in the fourth quarter, they're not nearly as afraid to take that on. When guys are beat down and tired and they've been laid on and, you know, getting off the piles and all those kinds of things, it truly makes a difference. And so I don't overthink it, right? I mean, there's a principle, you know, the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, stupid. That's the deal. Keep it simple. Go back to what you do and what you do well and continue to do it. And unless you're forced to come out of it, be who you are and let that identity win you the game.
As you can imagine, with the expectations high and the struggles of the Titans defense, there's sort of the question of can they get it fixed, knowing they have a really good offense, but they've got to be better on D. If I recall, Jeff, you, I mean, you guys had great teams every year with Peyton and company, and the offense was always going to do their thing. But when you guys won it all, if I recall, there were some struggles on the defense, but it seemed to get better at the right time. So how does that work, and do you think that can be the formula? Do you think the Titans can figure it out to be good enough on defense?
Absolutely. Listen, this is a good football team, man. I mean, when you turn the tape on, you know they got the dudes, right? I mean, when you talk about the guys who can make it happen, they definitely have a team that's built to be able to win and challenge big games, right? So this is not going to be a, hey, it's just not our year. And to your point, in Indy, the year we won the Super Bowl, I mean, we gave up, I want to say, almost 300 yards to Jacksonville, maybe a couple weeks before the season was going to end. I think Fred Taylor, I want to think, say, and maybe MJD, maybe Jones-Drew, both of those guys pulled hamstrings because they had gotten so much use and hitting their head on the goalpost from scoring so much that everybody was like, oh, there's no way this Colts team can do it. And I remember Dungy coming back to the locker room after the game and just saying, hey, it was really a ton about our pre-snap alignment. And I can remember even thinking to myself, hey, this is nuts, right? But the truth was the devil's in the details, and that's going to be no different for this Titans team. They will have guys. They just got to make sure that they're following the details of what Vrabel's putting out there. And look, he's an excellent football coach. I talked about, you know, he's in the consideration of coach of the year. Like I like the way Mike takes care of this football team and all the things that he can go through. So he'll have them ready, and they are fully capable of making a run. And I can tell you this, they make it to the playoffs, whether they win this division or they get in as a wild card or whatever. This ain't the draw you want. Like you saw that last year in the playoffs. This is a team that will dogfight and they will get after you. And you know, they are about it. And so, I think everybody understands when you go against the Titans what the expectations are. It's a tough physical team, and that wins a lot of games late December, January, and February.
We're talking to Jeff Saturday, former Colts center, and now with ESPN doing things on the media side. Something that, you know, we continuously have to watch here in Nashville is the wear and tear of Derrick Henry. They gave him the new contract. He is the, you know, the catalyst that makes this offense go. You played with a lot of running backs in your career, whether it's Adai or Edgerrin James. You know, the year you won the Super Bowl, you also had Rhodes on that team. But how much have you, or what do you see from Derrick Henry and how they're using Derrick Henry that makes you think, okay, there's still some tread left on this tire. They got to use him as much as they can, but also balancing of keeping him healthy and keeping him fresh as they go down the line.
Yeah, look, I think this is not a sport where, you know, you can just give guys a day off, right? I mean, you wish that were the case. The only way you can do that is if you build it in towards the end of the season, because you won so many games, you're going to have basic buys before anybody else gets there. But I think the way they use Henry is very productive, and I don't think you really change the formula, right? When you start thinking about the future, you know, I said this a ton about Lamar Jackson, and you know, there are certain things that you're really good at, and there's a certain amount of time you're going to be really good at them. If you start projecting out to, well, we gave this guy a contract, and we really need him to be a good running back in 3 years, you probably didn't have a good plan to begin with, right? We ain't nearly as worried about 3 years from now as we are about this week against the Colts. And I think that has to be the focus. You manage reps, you manage fatigue, you do all those things, in games that are out of hand, you can protect them. But when you're in the hunt, this is the time to let it rip and let it go. You know, you don't back down. There's no game management, because I do think you got to put your best out there and continue to put it out there. Because ultimately you're not going to get to where you want to get, or you're going to make it so difficult on yourself on the back end, because of preservation, that it doesn't help you. And the only guy, I can say this, the only guy I've ever seen where they really managed a guy, Bob Sanders was a defensive player for us, a safety who was staying injured, you know, shoulders and all kinds of things. And I remember Bill would hold him back, because he was kind of the last piece. I don't think that's the Derrick Henry conversation, right? He is the piece, right? He's not the last piece. He is the piece that you have to have. And so, you that's not one that you can kind of spell. He's the one you build it around. And ultimately the position he plays takes a ton of hits, but hopefully his body and the way that he handles himself, he can manage and give you the best towards the latter part of the season.
You brought up Mike Vrabel earlier and being in contention for Coach of the Year and what you've seen out of him. How much of Mike Vrabel, the player, that tenacity that he brought, you know, when you guys went up against the Patriots back in the day, how much do you see that has evolved into Mike Vrabel, the coach?
Oh, a ton, man. And listen, I got to know Vrabel through the Players Association as well. We both served on the executive committee together and did the negotiations with the CBA in 2011, and he's the same guy. This is not, y'all know him, from there, and, you know, he is who he is, and he's not pretending. That's one of the things I appreciated most about him, even as a player, right? Is he played the game hard. He was a very intelligent player, right? He's going to study you and know you. But he's going to give you 100% of everything he's got. That's what you see in his teams. I think that permeates the locker room. He loves to have a good time. He's going to enjoy himself. He's going to laugh with you, but he's also going to call you out, man. If he's got to say a few choice words, he ain't afraid to do that either. So I think he kind of fits the bill of that Patriots defense back then. Because again, we always talk about Brady and Belichick. I can tell you right now, as an offensive player, their defense, I mean, it littered with, you know, perennial Pro Bowl or All Pro or Hall of Famers, man. I mean, those dudes were well coached and as well oiled a defense as I ever played. Knew where to be, when to be there, what to expect. I mean, they came ready to play each and every time you played them, and they were going to bring their best. And that's what he does as a coach as well.
Jeff Saturday, ESPN, longtime Colts center. Hey, we appreciate the time. Good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Had a blast. Appreciate it, fellas. Have a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. Also on Get Up, which is something that we watch quite a bit on this show. We'll have more coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.